We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing with you another Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you today.
Father,
We are truly thankful for the privilege of presenting Thy Gospel on this broadcast today to this precious people. We are thankful for each one in our congregation, and we know that You love each one. And we're trusting that You will be able to use this service to be a blessing to hearts and get honor and glory to Yourself through it. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Deep in the night, the angels were heard singing a sweet melody.
Our subject for today, the promise of the resurrection. First of all, I would like to mention an article in one of our national magazines which said that it was difficult for some Christians to believe in the virgin birth and in the resurrection. I say that if you take these two things out of the gospel, you really don't have the gospel, you merely have religion. I'd like to call your attention, first of all, to Romans chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. According to the Apostle Paul, in his statement here in verse 9, one of the conditions for becoming a Christian is to believe that God hath raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So how could you be a Christian and deny the resurrection? We read in 1 Corinthians 15 and 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation. God's promise to David, Jesus' body, would not see corruption. Neither will you suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. The only way that promise could be fulfilled was for Jesus to be resurrected. Remember, whenever Lazarus died and Jesus tarried his coming, and when he went and he told him to roll away the stone, the sister said, why, Master, he'd been dead or in the tomb 4 days. By this time he stinketh. So the psalmist said in 16 and 10 that the body of Jesus Christ would not see corruption. So the only way that could have been avoided was for him to be resurrected. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110:4. The only way that promise could be kept was for Jesus Christ to be resurrected. We read in Psalm 118:22, the stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. The only way that promise could have been fulfilled was for Jesus Christ to be resurrected. Now, God cannot lie. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So we read in Titus 1 and 2, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, Hebrews chapter 6 and the first part of verse 18, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Romans 3:3-4. Now, beloved, the reason I emphasize these verses of Scripture, which declare that God cannot lie, is because that God made the promise to David that he would raise up one to sit upon his throne. And he made the promise to David that his body would not see corruption. So I say, God cannot lie. These things had to happen. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. That's Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19, and that same statement is found in Mark 10:33 and in Luke 18:31. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly's whale, or the whale's belly, a big fish belly, if you want it, prefer, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Again, that is Jesus Christ speaking. And he said that the Son of Man would be in the heart of the earth, in other words, in the tomb, for 3 days. Jesus Christ cannot lie. No, he cannot lie, just as the Father cannot lie. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we read in John chapter 1 and verse 14, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14 and 6. Now we have witnesses. First of all, Peter, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified the Christ of glory, and whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pain of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. That's Acts chapter 2, verses 23, 24, and 32. Do you think that 3,000 people would have been converted there on the day of Pentecost if Peter had been preaching to them falsehoods? That which I have just read from Acts 2 is part of that sermon that Jesus, or that Peter preached there on that day. And he declared that Jesus Christ had been resurrected. Again, I ask, do you think 3,000 souls would have believed Peter had been converted if he was up there preaching something that was false, something that they knew had not happened? And a little later, Peter and John was going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and there was a lame man there at the gate, beautiful, and Peter said, look on us. And the man looked on him. He was a beggar, and he thought Peter was going to give him a gift. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the people saw the man get up off of his crippled state, leaping and walking, because he had been made whole. He had been healed. And as a result of that, and also what Peter said later on, and Peter spoke there to them about the resurrection of Christ, the one whom they had crucified, God had raised from the dead, and 5,000 more were converted. Do you think that 5,000 would have been converted and believed on Jesus Christ if Peter had been speaking falsehood, and if they knew that he had not been resurrected? No, they knew that Peter was telling them the truth. And because of the truth that Peter told them and the miracle that they saw with their own eyes, they believed. And so 5,000 were added unto the body of Christ as a result. Now, we read in Luke chapter 24 and verse 5 and 6, about what the angel said to the women who came to the tomb for Jesus, looking for Jesus. And let me read those verses of Scripture. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now I would say the same thing about these angels that I said about God the Father and Christ. These angels did not tell a lie to these women that were coming and found the tomb empty. And they said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Now, to try to cover up the religious leaders there in Jerusalem, paid the soldiers money to get them to lie that they had gone to sleep, and while they were asleep, the disciples had come and stole his body away. But, beloved, the disciples didn't even believe themselves at the first. They didn't go to that tomb to try to steal his body away to make it appear as though he was resurrected. When they first heard about his resurrection, they didn't believe it themselves. And Jesus Christ appeared to them. He appeared to all of them, plus, according to the Apostle Paul, over 500 people saw Jesus Christ after his resurrection. The two that were on their way to Emmaus, talking about what had happened there, and this stranger joined them and asked them what they were talking about. And they said, well, you know, haven't you heard? Are you a stranger around here? We thought this one that had come was the one that would deliver us. But here it is, the third day, and since these things happened, and we don't know what happened to him. And Jesus took the scriptures and revealed unto them from Moses on down about the Christ. And when they stopped there at the inn and begged Jesus to stop with them, after they didn't even know he was Jesus, but he stopped with them and sat down there at the table. And when he broke bread, he opened their eyes and they saw that it was Jesus. My, didn't our hearts burn within us as they walked along and Jesus expounded the scriptures to them. What did they do? They got up from that table and hurried back to Jerusalem and told the disciples what had happened, that Jesus had appeared to them on the road to Emmaus. Now Mary Magdalene went back to the tomb alone later on, and Jesus appeared to her. She thought he was the gardener when she saw this man there, and she said to him, if you have taken his body away, let me know where you have taken him, and I will take care of the body. And he said, Mary. And whenever he spoke her word or her name, Rabboni, in other words, Master, and she was thrilled to see that the Lord Jesus was indeed alive and that he was not in the tomb. And she too rushed to Peter and the others and told them about how she had seen the Lord and how happy and thrilled she was because of that. Now I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians 15, which I call the resurrection chapter, and I'd like to begin reading with verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep, or in other words, some of those that saw Christ had died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of me, as one who was born without of season. So the Apostle Paul speaks very forcibly of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us look on in this chapter. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Paul said earlier in this chapter, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead, just like some people are saying today. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ from the dead. And if he raised Christ not up from the dead, then we are found false witnesses, and we are still in our sins. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Beloved, I serve a living, risen Lord, and I believe because he has changed my heart and my life. Yes, he has made me a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, because Jesus Christ not only was crucified on the cross, but he rose the third day, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave, and he rose to live, never to die again. And beloved, he has made it possible for us to live eternally too, through his death and through his resurrection. If there be anyone listening to this broadcast this today that's outside of the fold of Christ, I would urge you to seek this living, risen Lord as your own personal Savior. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you'll bless these thoughts and scriptures to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has been a blessing. If so, why not take time to write and let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We'd like to invite you to be with us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service at 6. And they are broadcast live over the Internet, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you.
Amen.